Fairchild?
Yes.
That's about the contingency.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
So it's 45,000, 46,000 net positive. When you add central service, national office, which is 405,000 plus plastic LED archives on another 60,000. So for central service of 464,000, adding to that as an expense payable, we would have a deficit of 418,000. That's not counting, you know, the 5% that we have committed to pay, plus the contingency plan, additional income sources, which if it generates any extra money, would go towards paying central service, which is projecting at $136,000 for this year, conservatively.
And if I may, Bill, there was an additional rider passed in executive session regarding possible contingency expense reductions beginning in the next few months if BAI's trend towards increasing fulfillment and revenue weren't.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not a pretty budget, but none of them have been so far, but it, at least it has a working plan, and I think their fulfillment does seem to be going up, which is, you know, hopeful.
That was very good news. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing to make that happen.
Thank you. Are there other questions?
Yes. Are you taking WPFW questions?
Oh, no, we're just doing BAI, Campbell, and then I'd like to take a vote on BAI, and then we'll move to WPFW next while we still have Derek Holt on the line because he did a lot of work on that budget as well, okay?
Call a question.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, George, or whoever wants.
Is there any objection to calling the question? Back and forth. There is no objection to calling the question. Is there any objection to approving the BAI budget as presented?
So this is Nia George. I could just be the only one if that's it. That's me.
Could you put me as an abstain, Ms. Bill?
And I'll be an abstention as well, please.
Take the roll.
Shram Agnir. Tracy Rosenberg. Can't hear you, Tracy. Andrea Turner.
Pass.
Joe Anzala.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
Pass.
Summer Reese.
Abstain.
Rico Ross. Oh, sorry. Bill Crozier.
Abstain.
Alberto Luera. Richard Uzel.
Yes.
Nia Bediako.
No.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes, and let me say that I am shocked that Nia Bediako's vote against this budget that she voted on the LSP.
None of your business, Alex. None of your business how I vote. So that's what you guys do. Please stop it.
Oh, Kimmery Orendorf. Kimmery.
Abstain.
Marcel Reed. Marcel, can't hear you. Jim Bennett?
Abstain.
Thank you. Jim Bennett? Can't hear you. Ifea Wangaza abstains.
Did you call Campbell Johnson?
No, I didn't. How do you vote?
I will pass now.
Let's see. Andrea Turner?
No.
Leslie Radford?
No.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Uh, Shram Magmir, Tracy Rosenberg. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 no's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions.
Okay, so the budget passes.
George, this is Nia. Could I have a point of personal privilege since Alex called my name, please? First of all, that was an absolute lie. I said this was a fantasy budget, and Jamie Ross and I voted against this. So Alex is telling a lie.
Okay. Alex, do you want your point of personal privilege?
My point of personal privilege, my recollection is that the local station board at BAI voted unanimously to approve the WBAI budget.
Absolutely not.
Okay, we can work that out in a minute, Neil.
Conversation in either case. We need to stop responding to these kind of provocations from each other. It really just gets in the way of getting our business done. Could you bring up the W budget, please, Summer?
Yeah,
George, we need to stop provoking each other.
Okay.
Yeah, George.
Thank you. Okay, for WPFW, I would like to, I guess, Bertolt, you've had a lot of work on this, and I'm thinking neither the treasurer nor the PNB member from WPFW is here, and we've chewed on it since August, but since you are the one who did the final touches on bringing things together on the WPFW budget, I would like to impose upon you to, again, hit the revenue and expense lines and the surplus and deficit issues, et cetera, just like you did on the BAI, if you could, please. Is Bertolt still with us, Alex?
Yeah.
Alberto, point of personal privilege before you start, Alberto. I'm sorry, this is Kimmery. Please,
yeah.
Folks, if anybody is not speaking, can you please mute your phone? It is so annoying. It's so unprofessional. It's so childish to continue to hear this noise in the background while we're here having important meetings, and it's like we don't know what pound pound one is. So please, can we just pound pound one? If you're not speaking, pound pound one when you have to speak, so we don't have to hear the noise in the background. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimmery. I agree heartily because I couldn't hear Bertolt a couple of times because there was scratchiness on the line. So, Bertolt, if you would be so kind as to go ahead and go through the major the revenue and expense lines on the WPFW budget, we'll do sort of the same process because you've done as much work on that as anyone there.
For the PFW, the projected listener support is $1.1 million for the year, and it adds up to a total revenue of $1.6 million. The expenses add up to $1.385 million. The most significant thing about expenses is that the reduction in salary, which was the thing that kept this from being completed, it was very drastic. So after revenue and expenses, they have a net income of about $223,000, and central service adds up to $223,000. So after PFW pays the central service, there'll be a net profit of $168.
I remember that part well. Okay. Are there any other high points or low points of the budget that you think we should bring out before we take questions?
Well, the high point is that the projected fulfillment rate of PFW is very high.
What is the percentage rate, please?
It's at 82%.
And is that historically accurate?
That's historically accurate.
Okay.
And they're doing about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fund drives, short fund drive, shorter than New York. And they are projecting a little less revenue from last year, reduction of 10%. So this is very reasonable, considering that there were some power problems that where they could not reach their entire listenership last year. So it's very likely that they might exceed their revenue projection.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Now we can take questions on, we don't have, yes, we'll take questions on WPFW. Sir.
Campbell for a stack.
I knew you were there, Campbell. Okay, what would you like to ask?
Point of information, I'm still hearing the rustling of papers.
Totally, it's like foil or something. So, thank you. Yeah, whomever, please try. Whoever it is who thinks there might be scratching going on their line. And there it is again. So, go ahead, Campbell, please.
Okay. When we saw this in our LSB, one of the things that was identified were several areas of fundraising, including web income, including major donors, including a couple of other categories that had not been previously useful for the WPFW budget. And what had taken place when I asked about this, I was told by our treasurer, oh, well, we have a professional development department, and they made this recommendation, and so therefore we should agree to it. Now, I have a huge problem with that because this is the exact same department that had come forward with the duck race proposal and have refused to really provide any analysis as to how that was going to happen. So, therefore, I think that these amounts that I'd identified in the revenue side are really not supported and problematic. Since I do have the floor at the moment, there's one other question that I think needs to be addressed, and it may be useful, since it's now 11:50, for us to move adjournment, because the other matter, I think, may not be appropriate for open session. And I think that I don't know that we have a consistent policy throughout Pacifica in regard to cuts and who takes the cuts. But I can recall when I worked for the state government, the cuts were hardest on secretaries of departments, next assistant secretaries, and managers like me. And then when we had clerical people, because they are really living hand to mouth, they weren't cut as much at all. However, this does not seem to be the case in the budget that we have, and the budget was approved by our LSB before these kinds of changes were implemented.
Thank you, Campbell. I'll let Bertolt address some of that, but I think, is that Arlene I heard?
No, it's LaVarne.
LaVarne, okay. I'll let LaVarne chime in, and I had something to say on it, but go ahead, LaVarne.
Just briefly, because I think if we wanted to look at these individually, we can go in closed session, but management did take a cut at WPFW, so that is... Management did take a cut at WPFW. So
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Could
she
you
was saying management did.
Management did take a cut in salary at PFW. So that's a fact.
Thank you. And if I may,
no, that's incorrect.
Well, one management position did take a cut.
And if I may here, just we can't really discuss personnel issues on this call.
I understand.
In addition to the recent five-hour meeting, National Finance has been meeting every 2 weeks for the entire year and sometimes more frequently than that. It was presented to us that WPFW was bringing its budget in line by actually going to the union and negotiating with the union any staffing cuts that were to be made or any compromises to be made. And it's certainly been presented to us that the results that we see in the budget – it's one of the reasons that the budget first came to us in August and didn't come back for approval until December, because they were waiting for
that's what Paul told me.
The various negotiations with the union. And I'm not, you know, privy to all of those negotiations, but we do work presumptively on, some of the information that is brought to us, that if these, that if there have been negotiations with the unions, that the union has participated in them, you know, obviously. So.
But I'm talking about non-union positions.
Campbell, rather than letting you speak again, I would like to let Bertold speak if he has any further input on this subject. And I don't know if LaVarn or Arlene want to say more on that. Bertold, he mentioned two issues, which were unproven development issues and, like, you know, how that accounts.
Sure. I mean, let's go to them directly.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
One of them is a website income, and PFW is projecting $30,000 a year, which is about $2,500 a month. The next one is car donation proceeds. They're projecting $850 a month for $10,000. And the other major item is major donor. They're projecting $78,000 of income for the year. And then they have other events projecting about, they're projecting an event in July and in September. That will add up to $21,000. If I may just address the car donation proceed part, I don't know if they have implemented that yet, but, you know, in New York we have, you know, a car donation, a company that we recommended to them that has sent us thousands and thousands of bookmarks with Donate Your Car to WBAI that we sent to every single member to whom we send a premium or correspondence. Also, we have cards that have been put together. We know that in New York we have not maximized our car donation revenue because we have not really focused on that. And then we did really well in October and then, you know, didn't do as well in December in the middle of the drive. But we know in L.A. because they really focused on that, and then our program director was in L.A., you know, was really active in doing the cost. They raised a lot of money in car donations. So now I have no idea how and when and if PFW is implementing this yet, but they should be able to increase their car donation revenue to $850 a month. So that's one thing I can, you know, definitely talk to. Major donor, I can't talk to that. I don't know what they're doing. As far as the website income, we know that we are all underutilizing our website, and at BAI we are still underutilizing our website, even though we have applied recently and have received a grant to enhance our website, kind of an e-commerce website. I can't talk to what they're doing at PFW, but all I know is we are all heavily underutilizing our website, Twitter, and all these accounts.
I guess to cut to the chase, probably, do you have the numbers at your disposal in terms of the historical support and how much more extensive this is in terms of projection, or do you not have that data available? Because it sounds like some of these things, I mean, I know we make money off of our car donation program in L.A., but as you said, we're focused on that. I mean, is there a huge gap between previous actuals and the predictions for these particular types of categories?
PFW.
And if you need to look that up for a moment, we could move to the other. Do you have anything that you're able to elucidate, considering this is an open call and we can only speak very moderately in terms of the staffing situation? I mean, I think I addressed that in terms of what's actually occurred in terms of the budgetary process, but I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that. Okay. Are there any other questions? Maybe Bertolt's looking for the numbers on the...
Summer, can I make a brief statement?
Yes, please.
I can't talk about the numbers from previous years on the budget, but I do know that we've spent a lot of time on the WPFW budget on the National Finance Committee, and I really want to commend the treasurer from that station, Bruce Wolf, who's done an excellent job. And none of these figures for that they're projecting strike me as unrealistic. They seem very modest. I know they've worked very hard to get a balanced budget together, and I really want to commend them for that.
Thank you, Alex. And I would concur with what Alex says. I mean, we spent quite a bit of time on the WPFW budget, and there did seem to be a conscientious effort to see to it that revenue projections were not unrealistic and that expenses didn't exceed revenue. So,
well, the income statement, you know, does not show.
I'm going out in a few minutes.
Okay, that's, we may not be able to answer that question satisfactorily tonight, Campbell. And there is not a huge surplus on the WPFW budget, and it does not contemplate the move, as we already discussed. So many of these budgets are rather close to the bone, but not necessarily unrealistic if, like, the transmitter doesn't keep going down this year like it did last year. I mean, some of the issues that some of our stations have, if we resolve them, fulfillment is improved in places like New York. As long as the budgets aren't, like, seriously unrealistic, I think the WPFW budget paired it fairly close to the bone. Are there other questions from other members regarding
this? Another point of it, another information.
Sure, please.
More information is that WPFW now has a full-time general manager.
Yes.
And so Robert West, who is the business manager, was acting interim general manager. So that now you have a full-time general manager, permanent general manager on board, and this is the first since, it's been a while. So therefore,
yeah.
Since like 2009 or so. So therefore, you know, we expect really positive things, and that hopefully the antenna will not go out, because that absolutely reduced the listenership there at PFW. So it looks very positive that that they should be able to achieve this budget, and also in terms of the sacrifice of the staff and working with the union that really is going along with this. I think this is very positive and a real model for the foundation.
Thank you, Laverne. Are there any other questions? I heard someone else's voice. Is it Bill?
We just have 4 minutes left for NFC.
Arlene, go ahead. So, thank you, Bill. Arlene.
The only thing that I might bring up in that relationship with WPFW is we have been alerted now for close to over a year at this point that at some point there's going to be a lead abatement project at the tower they're on, and at that point they will have to find alternative space and probably utilize the backup transmitter, so they'll be on at reduced power for a hopefully not too long period of time.
Thank you, Arlene. Is it known when that's supposed to happen?
No, we don't know. I mean, I was told about this before I came on board, which is the way we ended up with the backup transmitter that's being sold to them.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, that's over a year ago. So goodness knows, it may or may not happen in this fiscal year.
Okay, thank you so much.
I have a question.
Thank you so much, Richard. Okay, George, it's back to you.
Any objection to calling the question?
Yes, that table. Yes, I would like to move the table.
Sorry.
What?
George, I'd like to call the orders of the day.
Well,
the time is up anyway.
We got to go to a vote.
It would be nice if we passed our budgets as a closing act.
We have a call for the orders of the day, which, and we are past time. So if we
move to our 30-minute, move for 30 minutes to finish these budgets.
We're not quite past time, but about two more minutes.
Well, we're past time for the total meeting. It's past 10:30.
Okay. Yeah.
7:30. So,
I'll second Richard's move to go 30 minutes to finish this stuff up.
Okay. So is there any objection to going 30 minutes to finish up the reports from the Finance Committee? Okay. Campbell, you wanted to move to table the PFW?
Sure.
Yes.
What were you asking objections to? I'm sorry.
Objections to spending for 30 minutes.
Yes, I object.
Okay.
I'm starving.
Let's go to a vote on that. Nia, would you call the roll? A yes.
Way too complicated to finish tonight.
30 minutes, and a no vote means we'll go to a vote immediately on all the other budgets.
George, I thought the orders of the day took precedence.
They do, Leslie. That's why we're taking the vote. The orders of the day would mean we should simply adjourn. It's in order at that point to ask if people really want to do that.
That is correct. To extend
and
the 30
technically,
minutes.
They want to.
I made this.
Is a separate motion, George.
Since I made this motion, could I explain it a little bit? I think that technically it's to amend the orders of the day and extend this meeting for 30 more minutes.
Correct. Hold on that for 2 minutes.
We've been invaded by creatures from space.
Okay. Schwam Magmir.
I have the speaker on.
Tracy Rosenberg. Andrea Turner. Joe Gonzalez. Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I'm not getting any responses. Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
No.
Summer Reese.
Yes.
Rico Ross is gone. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Alberto Luera. Richard Uzel.
Yes.
Nia Bediako.
No, it's midnight.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger.
Oh, this is Joe. I fell off the board just as I was going to vote.
And how do you vote?
I vote yes.
I'm on this.
Jennifer Jaeger. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Kimmery Orendorf.
Yes.
Can you hear you, Kimmery?
Okay. Yes.
Marcel Reed, thank you.
Miss Campbell.
Okay.
I didn't hear my name called.
Campbell Johnson.
No.
Place near where I can get Nia out of the house.
Jim Bennett.
And you? Yeah, I think so.
We can hear those conversations.
No messes.
Alex.
Get Nia out of the
Alex.
House. Whoa.
Jim Bennett.
I am not in Alex's house. You can believe that. Trust
Jim
me
Bennett,
on that one.
Are you still there?
Nia, I had no idea.
Is Thea Wangaza? Yes.
I didn't know that, Nia.
Shram Agmir.
I'm in it.
Tracy Rosenberg. Andrea Turner. Okay, I think that's everybody. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, no.
Okay, so the motion to extend for a half hour passes. Campbell, you were about to make a motion to table when Leslie called for the orders of the day.
So move.
Is there a second for that? This is
second.
To table the BFW budget, is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Can we go directly to a vote on that? Does it need to be? Actually, it's not discussable. We have to go to a vote on that. Would you take the role of Thea? A yes vote is the table, a no vote the motion to approve the budget is still on the floor.
Campbell Johnson.
No. Oh, wait a minute. To table, yes. Excuse me.
Kimmery Orendorf.
No.
Marcel Reed?
No, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Okay. Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Jennifer Jaeger? Kathy Davis?
No.
Nia Bediako?
Yes, and I'm not with Alex, so call him again.
Richard Uzel?
No.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Summer Reese?
No.
Leslie Radford?
Yes.
Sean O'Brien?
No.
Joe Wanzala?
No.
Andrea Turner?
Pass.
Tracy Rosenberg? Can't hear you, Tracy. Shram Agmir? Can't hear you, Shram. Let's see, Jim Bennett? Ifia Wangaza, no. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 no.
Okay, can we go to a vote on the budget itself? Is there any objection to doing that? Okay, hearing none, Afia, is there any objection to, well, there will be. Afia, take a vote on the approving the PFW budget. A yes is to approve, a no is to not approve.
Okay. Shram Agmir. Tracy Rosenberg. Andrea Turner.
No.
Joe Wanzala.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford?
No.
Summer Reese?
Yes.
Rico, okay, Rico's gone. Bill Crozier?
Abstain.
Richard Uzel?
Yes.
Nia Bediako?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger? Alex Steinberg?
Can I ask what we're voting on? I was disconnected for a few seconds.
Okay, passage of the PFW budget.
Oh, yes.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kimry Orendorf?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Jim Bennett? Ifia Wangaza, yes. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 no's. And 1 abstention. 1 abstention.
Okay, so the budget passes.
I'm sorry, point of information. Nofia, can you just give me that tally one more time, please, for the vote?
9 yes, 4 no's, 1 abstention.
Thank you.
Okay. Summer?
Yes.
Did you want to move, which one you want to do next?
I think Levarne National Office budget and then the Pacifica Radio Archives. Levarne, are you there? Well, I think the next one would be the National Office, followed by the Pacifica Radio Archives. But, Levarne, are you? I'd like Levarne to present the revenue and expense numbers on those two items because they've had some adjustment. But I don't know. Is Arlene there?
I'm here. She's trying to get herself unmuted.
Okay, that's what I figured. Okay. So anyway, George, I'd like to go to National Office next.
I don't want to usually do it.
Are you there?
Yeah, this is Levarne.
Hey, Levarne. So National Office and then Pacifica Radio Archives, does that sound like the right order to you?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay, so George, National Office would be the next budget up for approval, please. Go ahead, Levarne. If you can hit the revenue and expense portion, the same thing like we just did on the others.
Yeah, first, the revenue generated by the National Office, we're projecting at about $675,000 for 2011. We are looking at getting central services from all of the units, and we do have the full amount in from WBAI, but then I can address that later. So, and then we have revenue of 100. Camry, are you there? Camry. Orendorf, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Could you please repeat that again, what you said earlier?
Oh, about muting your phone?
Yes.
Yes, because even if you're tired, we are all tired. I just came from out and it had a long day and
mm-hmm.
still got on the meeting. Just mute your phone. We don't need to know that you're tired and you got to yawn and all that stuff.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Go on, Levarne.
So the revenue we're projecting of $674,000. Our expenses in the major categories, salaries are $660,000. So that the revenue generated by the National Office covers the salaries in the National Office. And I might add that we did make some slight adjustments after some information came out. So I want to make sure that we lost. We had a half-time person doing payroll, so we have redistributed that work primarily to Lynn Magno, who we talked about and had given accolades to. And we also made an adjustment for another position left, and that's the HR director. So what we have in there is we have some consultant expenses. I think we have about $20,000 because we will need some professional HR advice and to work a couple of projects this year. So we've really cut down in terms of headcount. So the point to make is that the revenue that's generated is $674,000 and the salaries and all related expenses total $663,000. So the revenue covers the salaries. And the other expenses are board expenses of $160,000. We have administrative expenses, which I think is a lot of the programming and administrative. Administrative is a lot of the legal expenses, of course, and those type. And then we have programming expenses, which is primarily Democracy Now. And so after then, we come up, we would actually create a surplus of $323,672. And then we have in our budget payments. If we are at that level, if we generate that surplus, we would be able to apply that to some of the payables that were on the books as of September the 30th. And so we have outlined about $334,000, which includes payables, which is some of the back pay, some of the invoices that are due now. So we have about 134, mostly covering FSRN, taking care of all of this FSRN that we owe them, paying part of Democracy Now! As much as we can, and basically, of course, getting on schedule with Democracy Now! And FSRN.
And we have a preliminary contract with FSRN, which I guess I can share in a closed session. So again, so if we look at that and we pay some of our payables, so therefore we will achieve what we try to achieve in the national office, which is to have a balanced budget. You know, there's no there. So, but this budget, the way we have it set up here, creates a small deficit of about $10,000 just to make it a break-even budget. So that's basically the national office budget. And when it was sent out, we have all the sheet tabs on that were due as of September the 30th. I have a little pie chart, which I've added to there to show that in the payables that were due on September 30th, 43% of that was Democracy Now, 18% FSRN, and then 14% of that is for our legal counsel, which include a really past due payable of Dan Siegel, which is that, and we're showing $73,000 that we owe Dan Siegel, and that's actually not what he shows, but that's what has been given to us in our initial billing. And then we also owe our foundation attorney. We did make a payment this week. If Ricardo's on there, you know, we're trying to address that as we get funds in. So we owe him about $50. You know, he's hung in there with. And Craigler, you know, Garvey, Shubin, and Bear. This was on September 30th, about $17,000. And we owe some small amount. No, we owe charges on our credit card, which include the hotel expenses. And one of the reasons for delaying the current PNB meeting, owes $17,000. And the Hotel Durant here in Berkeley, we owe them about $9,000. And the Sportsman Lodge, we still owe them, which we shouldn't owe them anything because that's where the bed bugs were, $1,000. And then the rest of it is that we owed on, as of September 30th, we owed for health benefits, which, of course, we've had to pay those down because that's how we maintain our benefits for all staff. And at that time, it was about $60,000 that we owed. And then we also owe... we owed for printing for the elections and also for some of the direct mail campaign, which we have started. We've had a really good response on that. We owed NPR and other smaller amounts. So we owed on September 30th in the national office, we had $1 million that we owed. We've reduced that now to about $800,000. And we're still, and actually it's a little bit more than that because we do have a check that's sent to Democracy Now, or that we're sending to Democracy Now. And we've also paid some to FSRN after we received the CPB funding. So basically, the national office is right where we would expect it to be. That the shared expenses that are in the budget, that's what those expenses are. The headcount, the salaries are covered by the revenue generated by the national office, and we have the shared expenses, which is basically Democracy Now. We have. I'm looking at more than one thing here. Democracy Now, FSRN, we have NPR, we Clear Channel, and the other thing, just let me add, is that we found that KPFA, since I've been signing checks for KPFA, the new manager's on now, but I've been signing checks over the last couple of months, kind of duplicate jobs here, dual jobs, and sometimes they are dueling, but... we found that KPFA is paying some Clear Channel and NPR, so that's one of our little projects. And the other note I want to add is that the auditor has already told all of you guys that we really need an internal auditor on staff there. And so these issues, like I'm talking about, finding that I'm signing checks for Clear Channel and NPR, which we're paying both here at the national office and at KPFA, we need an internal auditor in there to get in there and to determine what's happening there, and to so that is headcount that we don't have in the budget. So that's basically where we are. There are questions. Oh, in terms of also, we were talking about internal and an internal auditor, but also we have started. I work with Bertolt, and he has a resource, and I've already made the contact so that we can look at getting interns from.
California, like graduate students, and also from SF State or USF to come in and work here in the office.
Thank you, LaVarne. Are there questions on the National Office Budget for LaVarne, please?
Yes, this is Nia Summer.
Hi, Nia. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know we have an expense for NPR, but I never heard a Clear Channel unless I missed it. What is that expense for, and how?
I think the Clear Channel is what we use to. A lot of these are associated with Democracy Now.
And it's for satellite hookup, at least at KFK. That's what Clear Channel is. It's our satellite hookup, and they're like the only gig in town because we have definitely gone, oh, my God, we're not giving money to Clear Channel, are we? So it's a non-volitional expense in some cities because of who runs the satellite hookup.
Right. Exactly.
Did you have other questions, Nia?
No, thanks. I knew about the NPR with DN, but I didn't know about Clear Channel. Okay, thanks.
Yes, the ugly realities of media monopoly. It's why we put in all this blood, sweat, and tears, right?
Yeah, all of these shared expenses that are in the national office, you know, this is what allow all of us to operate. So, you know, we have to really I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay. Are there other questions on the national office budget from other members, please? Okay. If there are none, I would move that we approve the national office budget. George?
Any objection to that?
I want to abstain again.
Hearing none, the national office budget is approved. Let's go on to the...
You had an abstention in there, George.
I'm sorry, point of information, George. Can I get that count for that? I had to run to the...
Well, I asked if there was any objection. There wasn't any. Bill said...
No. Oh, so it's unanimous?
With one abstention.
I thought I heard Bill.
Okay, can we go on to the...
Pacifica Radio Archives budget. And, LaVarne, if you would please do the revenue and expense. Just go cruise through those line items for us on Pacifica Archives also.
Okay, this will be really brief because actually the Pacifica Archives Director Brian DeCaser actually came before the National Finance Committee back in September or May, August.
August, yeah.
August, and explained his budget. And in order to complete the budget, we have to get the budgets from all of the stations because they need to know what the central services are for the radio archives. And also, we need to know what product that each station plans to purchase in their fund drive. Yeah, I might still have a little hole in there for that part of it, and I can let you know how much it normally is. It's usually about $50,000 to $60,000. And so that's... I have to tell you, that's the whole of this budget and the archives budget, because what we're, you look at it and we see revenue of $257,000. I have two versions of the budget and I'm trying to find the other. But what we have is $157,000 in revenue, and we have expenses of $508, and then we get central services, which is at 2.5%, and that's $233. So now it shows that there is actually a deficit, but that deficit is really the income revenue that your archives gets from stations, and we were not able to like pull that out separately from the submissions from the station. So again, you know, although the numbers right here doesn't say it because we haven't taken it out, but this is basically a break-even budget. And I just want to add for your information that the Pacifica Radio Archives actually produced the only unit, and let me just confirm this because we initially thought KPFK, but the Pacifica Radio Archives is the only unit that actually produced a surplus and they had a surplus of $61,000. So, when we get those numbers, I can assure you that they were seeking to have a break-even budget, and that's really what it is. So, it's pretty steady. they have income from their sales from outside, and they have the income from the transfers, basically, which shown as revenue from the station for product that's purchased, and that will happen. So it's just not on here yet. And but I would, you know, I would definitely approve it that that the groups here at Pacific Radio Archives, they work really long, hard hours. They their finances and everything are kept very, very precise and meticulous. So they're and I, again, the staff works long hours, and I would definitely wish or ask that the budget is approved for the archives. They do have about $6,700 in capital. And I just want to let you know that the facts are that so far with their old budget, that they've actually exceeded this budget that we have here by about, I think, about $30,000 for the first part. So they are way ahead of the budget right now. So, you know, and if they maintain about 30 to 20 or even like 15 each quarter better performance in their budget, that means that they have certainly will clear out this outbreak shows the deficit here. Sorry about that.
Whoever's got their phone, thank you.
Turn it off. I'm sorry, it's mine. Sorry about that.
And I'd like to add to what Laverne was saying in terms of PRA. They are the only unit, like, actually getting grant money in, and that seems to be helping their budget and certainly helping their ability to archive materials. So at least they've been actively engaged in bringing in extra money that doesn't just come from listener support. So I think that's at least an encouraging trend on the archives budget.
Yeah,
let me say they aren't the only one. KPFT has also gotten some.
Thank you. I apologize. They've done very well, and okay. So it's a part of a growing trend. We hope then.
Yes.
So the budget, the performance for the first three quarters, they were actually. We made a slight adjustment. They're actually about, like I said, about $30,000 better than the budget that they currently have through their first 3 months of this year. They've already wiped out the difference here at $60,000 or $70,000 as a deficit. They've already wiped out about $30,000 of that. So I can assure you that. And the other thing I'd like to commend them for doing, and that this is something that a lot of people on the finance committee has been very adamant about, some who are not on the call here, is that you do have to produce a budget. Your revenue does have to be not what you would wish it to be, or even in terms of how you performed over the last couple of drives. It really has to be, you know, you have to be have to document that it's changed. That's what has happened. And I just want to add that Bertolo is still there. He has documented that it's changed with his fulfillment. But just in terms of how Brian DeShazer pulled his budget together, that he did do conservative projections.
Yeah, and I think they always operate very conservatively in that unit. I feel it's a fiscally responsible unit that attempts to bring in additional monies in a really diligent way. So anyway, are there questions regarding the PRA budget? And if there are no...
This is Nia. This is Nia.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Nia.
We're on. I took a point of real personal privilege. We voted on the national office budget already?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. I like to say that I vote no, but I had to take a point of personal privilege. I went to the bathroom.
No problem. Well, we're on the PRA budget now. Are there any questions for the on the Pacifica Radio Archives budget?
Sorry, I apologize.
Call questions.
Thank you, Richard. George?
Yeah. Is there any objection to approving the Pacific Radio Archives budget? Here
this
it
is Nia. Hello, yes. I abstain, George. I abstain.
Okay.
I'm going to abstain to this bill.
Okay. Anyone else want to abstain?
Yeah, this is Leslie.
Okay. So with those three...
Can't hear you, George.
With three abstentions, the budget is approved.
Thank you. There's a lot of ringing bells on the line.
Yeah.
Angels are getting their wings.
Yeah.
Is that Andrea? Oh, okay. George?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I abstain.
Okay.
Okay, George, that leaves us with the last budget, which is KPFK's, and I'm going to let LaVarne present on that. I will say, before we get to it, with...
We can hear you, Andrea.
Order something for us. anyhow, with...
Yeah.
I'll wait, George.
Andrea, we...
Oatmeal cookies.
Okay, on the KPFK budget, the caveats being, you know, there was a gap between projected revenue and expenses and an overly optimistic projection of revenue, which the National Finance Committee reduced in terms of listener sponsorship to resemble actuals that we felt were supportable from previous years. And we've met many times over it. Unfortunately, KPFK management did not supply a corrected budget at any point to the local finance committee, despite repeated attempts. So the budget that comes before us has not been presented to the KPFK local station board except several months ago, an uncorrected version, and it's gone through some mutations since then. So the board has not had an opportunity to review it. The local finance committee, the treasurer, Kim, and myself and LaVarne put in a lot of time working on trying to close these gaps. And the National Finance Committee did not approve the budget in its last incarnation. We only reduced the revenue side on listener support to what we thought was a realistic number, but the expense side had not yet been trimmed. And in further conversations with LaVarne, we understand some instructions were going back to management because we've had a sort of explosion of personnel over the last year, which we certainly felt added to the expense line of the budget and perhaps the rosy prediction line of revenue. And I will let LaVarne take it from here to see what progress has been made since our last meeting on Tuesday, where we still had a gap in reality. And if that gap's been closed with management since then, you know, we'll see where we're at. So go ahead, LaVarne, if you would, please.
Well, thank you, Summer. You know what, the budget is right here on my... Can you give me like 2 minutes?
I can actually.
I can't find it here.
Sure. I can cover a couple of other details for the committee.
Okay.
The management budget had a 3.186 listener projection, and last year's actuals were 2.7. There was no fund drive in September at the end of last fiscal year, which we felt could account for maybe $300,000 worth of revenue, because that fund drive typically goes from September into October, splitting its revenue between the old fiscal year and the new. And this year it was solely in the new fiscal year in October. So we were willing to accept an increase in projected revenue of $300,000, bringing the listener total to $3 million, which left us with that couple $100,000 gap between that and expenses, because, of course, expenses were right up against that. So, there's also a limit to what we can discuss on an open call, but certainly addressing the FTE issue in the upcoming year and not allowing personnel simply to be added to payroll was brought up as a necessary point of discussion. And, of course, we have a new manager coming in, and the interim manager is on his way out. So that's one of the reasons we didn't approve it at National Finance, is we were not able to close that gap. So I don't know if LaVarne's back with us yet.
I'm ready.
There you are. Okay, good. So, LaVarne, go ahead and pick it up from where we left off Tuesday night.